Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You've been listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We've been having a little bit of fun today. For those of you that are just tuning in, this was one of the things that we've talked about that has been taking the text line by storm. I understand that some of you listen to Taylor Swift, and I don't judge you for listening to Taylor Swift. Just a couple of days ago, I drove to work listening to Michelle Branch. I love a pop girly. I love espresso. So if you like Taylor Swift music, there's nothing wrong with you being a Swiftie. I was thinking about this because one of my friends, Mark Gunnels, he's a Taylor Swift fan. He's a Swiftie. And they were making fun of him online for, he was like reviewing the album. And hey, these are my favorite songs. And some of the people were going at him and making fun of him. And I'm like, wait, this is silly. Like, she's the most popular musician in the world. Like, you're allowed to like her music. I mean, it's not for me, but if it's for you, fine, great, whatever. And I think that a lot of times men, we take other men's men card, male card away for things that are actually like really, really silly. There's a rom-com that you love. I love the movie Hitch. You know, there's movies like that that you just really love and appreciate. Like, that doesn't make you less of a man if that's the case. I'm not judging you if you like The Notebook. It's a great movie. But there are some things I'm going to judge you for. Like, I'm going to judge you if we're at the tailgate and you can't throw a football. I'm judging you if that's the case. We all have been in that situation, especially when you do the triangle. You know what I'm talking about, Nate? It's me, you, somebody else. I throw it to you, you throw it to him, we throw it back, we're running around, you know, we're just being guys here. If you can't throw and can't catch a football, I'm sorry, I'm judging you.
You know the scene from The Sandlot when they pick up the new kid and he can't throw the baseball and he runs it over to the superstar? That's what I'm picturing when you
I'm
say
I'm judging you,
say
you if you can't do that. That's the things that we really need to judge you for. You're 31 years old. How can you not throw a football? What happened that you didn't learn to pick up this skill, this trait? That's something I'm judging you for. I'm also judging you if you didn't have a favorite wrestler as a kid. I'm sorry, I'm judging you. I'm judging you. Like, you maybe didn't play video games as a kid. That's fine. Nobody's saying you had to be all state, all conference, all district in basketball. That's not that, but you got to be able to throw a football. You got to have a favorite wrestler when you were a kid. That's a phase that, to me, you had to have gone through. That's an important phase in a young boy's life. You couldn't go to school in the Attitude Era and you didn't watch Monday Night Raw. Like, you had to watch Monday Night Raw. You could get away with not watching Monday Night Football. Maybe it was a stinker. But you're telling me that Stone Cold, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, DX, NWO, they were wrestling on Nitro and Raw, and you weren't watching it? You weren't paying attention to it? That's weird to me. I'm pulling your man card for that. It's in question right now. The only, I would say, teenage boy phase that I didn't go through was Dragon Ball Z. I never watched Dragon Ball Z. I tried it. I couldn't. I couldn't get into it. The anime phase that some of you guys are in, I never got into it. The only anime I watched was Pokemon. I couldn't get into any of that else. But at the end, hey, you know, different strokes for different folks. But those are the things that I would judge you on. Those are the things that I'm willing to call your man card into question. Not if you're a Swiftie, that's fine. You like anti-hero? You like a little Shake It Off? You like a little You Belong to Me? Fine. If you're loving this new album, great for you. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's everything that you wanted it to be. But if I ask you about Rey Mysterio and you don't know who Rey Mysterio is, I'm sorry, Nate, I'm judging you if you don't know who Rey Mysterio is and you're a 35-year-old man. I'm judging you if you don't know that answer. I'm judging you.
Judge away, man. I unfortunately can't get on board with you on that one, just from my own personal experience. Now that I'm older, I wish that I would have had the experience. I listened to you. I listened to Nate Taylor sit here and talk about how great, how grand of a time it was to come into school after that Monday Night Wrestling.
I'm telling you, it was great. It was a great time.
We can get my therapist in here, talk about my childhood not being great. That's fine if you want to do that. You might be onto something there with that. But yeah, I missed out on that experience, man.
I'm telling you. Text line 913-586-7965. Born in the early 90s, me and none of my friends watched wrestling. Then I wouldn't want to hang out with you then. That just wasn't that's not the lunch table I wanted to sit at. If you were part of the lunch table and none of you watched wrestling, that just wasn't a fun lunch table to me. Who is your favorite Power Ranger? See, not everybody had the same Power Ranger. There's different answers. The pink one. What kind of question is that? You had a favorite one? The blue one? That was your favorite Power Ranger? The Blue Ranger? Who liked the Blue Ranger? No, it was the pink one. And then when they expanded it and then Tommy came through and started beating up the original Rangers, then that was your favorite Ranger, the green one. Your favorite Ranger. Who'd you like, the yellow one? That's worse. If you tell me your favorite Power Ranger was the yellow one, that's a judge-worthy moment. Absolutely a judge-worthy moment. Nate, did you go through a Ninja Turtles phase when you were a kid?
Maybe very briefly. I never, watched the show religiously, never had the would you call it merch? You know, all the kids had the backpacks, the binders. I never was into Ninja Turtles like that, no.
Okay, I was just making sure. I just wanted to know. All right, let's get to very serious football things. I know that some of you no longer watch wrestling, and that's perfectly fine if you do or if you don't. I got out of the wrestling phase, but if you're still into it, great, happy for you. All right, I wrote this down because this feels like a bye week, even though it's not a bye week. Like, I understand they play on Monday, but just the energy for this Friday feels a little bit different because the game is on Monday. So I wrote this down. This feels like we can just kind of exhale a little bit. The Chiefs are back at 2-2. They're at 500. They just played their best game of the season. This feels like a natural break in the season is what we have right now. That's what it feels like. Funny enough, after week 8, they have another Monday night game, and there's another break in the Chiefs' schedule. I wrote down these 4 questions. These are 4 things that I am going to be looking at very closely heading into the second portion of the season. You guys know that I've been big on the run game. We don't got to spend all day on it, but you guys know how I feel about the run game. I think I kind of have a good understanding about 2 of the 3 of their running backs. I know what Kareem Hunt is. There is nothing more with Kareem Hunt than what they have. What they have is very valuable, but there is nothing more. He doesn't turn into a guy that gets 15 carries and gets you 80-something yards and 2 touchdowns. That's not who he is. He is a battering ram. He is a 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, convert, move the sticks. That's who he is, and that's fine. That's a tremendous thing to have, a short yardage back that you trust, that holds on to the football, that converts. So I'm not down on that. With Breshard Smith, I think you are going to see his role grow in the offense coming up over the next 4 weeks. You are starting to see it. You saw it on Sunday against the Ravens. We know how the Chiefs are with young players. It's always a little bit slow in weeks 1, weeks 2, weeks 3. And then as the season progresses, they give them more and more of a workload. They trust them a little bit more and more, and they end up playing a major role in the second half of the season. That's what happened with Tyreek Hill. That's what happened with Rashee Rice. That's what happened with Xavier Worthy. I don't know why this would be much different when talking about this player. Now, I don't know what the ceiling looks like for Breshard Smith, but I think we know that he is going to be a bigger factor in the next 4 games than he was in the last 4 games. The only question is Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know what he is. In his last 12 games, he has only rushed for more than 50 yards 1 of the times. So maybe you think they need to show more of a commitment to Isaiah Pacheco. Maybe it's a vision thing. Maybe it's an explosion thing. I don't have the answer to the question. But I'm telling you right now, the Chiefs cannot get to where we think they can go if they don't get better at running the football. They just can't. You can't ask Patrick Mahomes to be your leading rusher and be the MVP in the passing game. You got to be able, especially when it starts to get colder, you got to be able to trust the run game. You don't got to be great at running the football, but you got to have some balance. You got to be able to rely on Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, Breshard Smith, whoever it is, you got to be able to rely on them to help you out in the run game. So that's my number one thing. Number two, it's on both sides of the ball. I want to see how the secondary continues to grow. Their secondary, I think, in the last 3 weeks has shown great promise. Noel Williams is the number one ranked corner right now on Pro Football Focus. Trent McDuffie looks like he's going to be another all-pro, certainly deserving of a big contract at the end of this season. I like Jaden Hicks. Their secondary has been as advertised. They had a lot of young bodies, and I think that those guys have played really, really well. What does that continue to look like? Noel Williams, for all the praise, and he certainly deserves it, he only has 47 snaps. It's week five. He hasn't been on the field a whole lot so far. So what does that look like in 100 snaps, 200 snaps, 250 snaps? We just got to see. So what does the defense look like at the end of the month? How do guys continue to grow? How do they continue to be used? That is something I'm looking for. Same question, but on the offensive side, when it comes to the offensive line, their offensive line has been inconsistent. Call it what you want. Their offensive line has been inconsistent. So I don't want to overreact to one performance against the Baltimore Ravens, against a team right now that is just completely banged up front. But I don't want to completely dismiss it. I'm looking at it with, I would say, a level of cautious optimism. That's the best way I can describe it. I'm looking at it right now with cautious optimism. Josh Simmons has played well. Kingsley Suamataia has played maybe a little bit better than expected. You know what you have at center. You know what you have at right guard. And their right tackle, I'm sorry, but the penalty problem, it's going to pop up again. It's going to frustrate you. It's been a problem every game that he has been here in Kansas City. So one game of not having a penalty, I'm not throwing a parade for him. That's what you're supposed to do. You've been the most penalized player in the league since you joined Kansas City. So going up, this week, you go on the road against the Jacksonville team. I'm assuming it's going to be loud. I'm assuming it might not go well for Juwan Taylor. You then go up against the Detroit Lions, who got dogs on that side of the defensive line. So how does our offensive line look? So question number one, can they get the run game going with Isaiah Pacheco? Number two, does the secondary continue to grow? Can the offensive line continue to grow as well? And I think this might be the biggest question with the Chiefs is, what does this offense look like in a month when they get Rashee Rice back? They have more weapons than I anticipated them having. If you were telling me that your offense can't consist of Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Tyquan Thornton, Hollywood Brown, you now got Juju as your number five wide receiver. Sprinkle that in with Travis Kelce, who has played well for the most part so far. A couple of mistakes, but he hasn't been a problem for the Chiefs. I would say outside of that, he's certainly been a guy that you trust and is going to have 700, 800 yards receiving this year. Their offense is 2 weeks away from starting the process of at least having the pieces on the field that we expected. At least having the pieces on the field. It feels like the Chiefs really have two seasons. It is before Rashee Rice and with Rashee Rice. Because I think we all have kind of looked at this as, well, I can't really evaluate their offense in the first 5 weeks of the 6 weeks of the season because you didn't have your number one and number two wide receiver. Well, you got your number two wide receiver. He just came back. He played exceptionally well. You get your number one receiver back coming up in two Fridays. You get him back heading into a divisional matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders at home. So that first catch for Rashee Rice, that place is going to go crazy. It's been a long time since you've seen a catch from Rashee Rice. So those are the questions. Those are the things that I'm looking for as we are heading into the second half of the season. We have also today been taking a trip around the AFC West. So we went to Denver, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles. I want to play for you the best of a little bit from each of those conversations. I guess let's start with the Chargers. You guys always love the Chargers. My point this week about them is every version of the Chargers loses the game that we just saw them lose to the New York Giants. Every single one of them. They got off to a really good start. People were looking at them like they were a top five team in the AFC, and then they lose to a team that's going to have a top five pick. We had Fernando Ramirez on the show earlier, and I asked him, why do the Chargers always lose these games?
Well, I mean, to be completely honest, I don't think anybody would have had in their bingo card that Joe Walt goes out with an injury. I think that was kind of a rough spot for them, is that, and I had, we've all spoken about it out here, that these guys were an injury away from it being the same offensive line that got beat up by Houston. And that's what happened. The Giants have three very good pass rushers. And what they were doing was they were just using stunts. They watched that Houston game. They saw that these inside guys cannot take a stunt because the three inside guys are the guys that started in that Houston game. And all Houston did was just run stunts, and that's what they did. And what I wrote about on Sunday was Justin Herbert put on the cape against Denver, and he was able to be the Superman for them. And even though he got sacked five times and he got hit 15 times, I believe, he still put on the cape. They were able to win the game at the end because of his heroics. On Sunday, he wasn't able to do that. Why? Because he kept on getting beat up. Burns and Abdul Carter just kept on going after him. They hit him multiple times, and that's why I asked Jim Harbaugh, hey, he got hit 26 times in the last 2 weeks. He's gotten sacked seven times. Like, yeah, that can't happen. I don't know what the solution's going to be, but they need to do something to help their quarterback, because if he's not playing, and I think everybody would agree with this, if Justin Herbert isn't playing, they have no chance of winning football games.
Let's talk about the passing attack. I wouldn't have guessed that through the first 4 weeks of the season that Quentin Johnston would have been their number one receiver. I also wouldn't have guessed that Ladd McConkey would be off to such a slow start. He just has 147 yards so far through their first four games of the season. He doesn't have a touchdown. I guess twofold question here. What changes have you seen in Quentin Johnston? Why do you think Ladd McConkey is off to such a slow start?
Quentin Johnston, and this is something he's been working on. He told me in the offseason, he's like, I'm gonna have a great year. And I'm like, really? He's like, I believe it. He's like, I'm working very hard. His get off, where as soon as the ball's hiked, his get off has been very good. And I mean, he's really improved that, and I feel like that's helped him get a step on cornerbacks. And then what he did last week in that 38-yard touchdown that he did a double move. And the double move, I mean, the corner completely bit, and Justin squeezed the ball in between the corner and the safety. So Quentin really just feels like he's in a groove right now, and I feel like the Chargers should keep on feeding him. Keenan Allen's obviously the guy that moves the chains and they look for on short yardage situation. But the thing with Ladd, it kind of feels like last year. Ladd didn't really get going until about week 7 or week 8 against the New Orleans Saints. And it kind of feels like it's happening all over again this year. I mean, last year, I think we're in week 4. Last year at this point or this week, they played the Arizona Cardinals on Monday Night Football. And Ladd had like two catches for like 15 yards and he had two drops. And fans are like, oh, this guy isn't what we were promised, this, that. And then all of a sudden he turned it around and he caught fire. So I think with Ladd, he'll be fine. He just needs to kind of get the yips out of the first 4 weeks of the season. And I think he's still getting used to playing with Keenan. Keenan's still getting used to playing with him. But Quentin's the one that last year, again, if you go back and look at his numbers, Quentin was the one kind of saving this receiver group last year at the beginning of the year. He had three touchdowns in the first 3 weeks of the season, I believe, and he started off hot. So I think this is going to be a big year for Quentin. That's in year 3, and everybody was calling him a bust after the first year. Last year, yeah, he was okay, but there was always a but. And now I feel like Quentin is building on good games back to back to back.
That was Fernando Ramirez, who covers the Los Angeles Chargers. We got his perspective. We also went to Denver to be joined by Josh Dover, and we talked about the regression from Bo Nix.
Yeah, not at all, man. I'm with you on that. And I will say this. I was a believer in Bo early on with some of the stuff when people had doubts about – the short yardage throws, check downs, and all this stuff. I thought he'd figure it out to fit with Sean Payton. And then, as you said, they did that after about week four, week five last year, and got better, turned into a 10-win team, got their butts beat in a playoff game against a really strong team in the Bills. But he got better every week, getting through more progressions at a quicker rate, planting that back foot and throwing, knowing what, you know, 3-5-7-step drop, what he's going to do. And he can go back to May. He told their offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, who told us in the media that Bo said, he's like, man, I don't have to think about my footwork as much this second time around, which makes me so much better. And here we go now through 4 weeks, and he's struggled in a handful of these games. He's been the reason they lost that Colts game, missing a few throws because of bad footwork. So he's gotten kind of back to that Bo from weeks 1 through 4, 1 through 5, when, you know, he's a rookie playing the toughest position in sports, drinking from a fire hose, really not knowing what he's doing. And some of that is because Sean's overloading him with plays and substitution packages are too much. I thought they got back to some of the basics a week ago, which led to them getting on track, although it was a bad Bengals team. You can only beat who's put in front of you. But I'm with you, man. You thought maybe, hey, he's going to pick up where he left off, and he looks like he went back to rookie Bo.
At least with Bo Nix, I think the hope and the optimism should be, I mean, there's no shortage in weapons to turn this thing around for the Broncos offense.
100%. And they should actually lean into J.K. and R.J. a little bit more. J.K. Dobbins hasn't had more than 16 carries in a game yet. That number should be at 20, although history would tell you Sean Payton doesn't generally give his running back 20 touches a game. You know, few and far between, he will, but that should be who they are. You know, they should be a run-first football team and then set your passing plays up to the play action once you have run the ball. J.K. Dobbins rushed for 100 yards last week. Dude, it was the first time since Latavius Murray did it for the Denver Broncos back in the 22 season. And if he goes for 100 again this week, it'd be the first time a Broncos running back has done it in back-to-back weeks since the 2018-19 season. So I think they should lean into that a ton more. Use the run game. Let the defense think that's what you want to do, and then let Bo get wide receivers involved. Evan Ingram's been a ghost, their big offseason acquisition. And if they had a bit of a run game and can use him in, like, chip and release scenarios, you'd start to see, you know, what Sean promised would be the Joker. So I think they should give J.K. and R.J. even more opportunities than they already are.
If the Broncos go on the road and pull off the upset, tell me how they do it.
You know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, to be honest. You said it. They're up and down. Who are the Eagles right now? Now you have to keep Saquon in check, obviously. You hope that A.J. Brown continues to be a big old crybaby there, pouting about what he's going to tweet after the game. If the Broncos can, like I said, get J.K. Dobbins going, I would think J.K. and R.J. combined have to do like what they did last week. They were flirting with 200 yards between the two of them. Combined yardage and total yardage between rushing and receiving. So they'd have to do that. Bo would have to play a perfect game with no turnovers, and that defense would have to get something out of Jalen Hurts or Saquon or you know, Goddard when he's out as a receiver with the ball in his hands. Get a turnover, and I don't think the Broncos are going to win like a 21-24 game. If they have a shot, I think they have to come out early, kind of shock the world, go up, and make the Eagles chase a little bit. So I think they have a – I mean, let's call it a puncher's chance, if you will. But, man, it's going to be a huge test for this team. And I also want to say this real quick. The Eagles have won a bunch of games. I really like that one they won in February.
Josh, I haven't thrown any shots your way at the Broncos, and that's how you want to play in this conversation? Why are you doing this? You know, there's no reason for this. That was out of bounds. There was no reason to do this. I was literally just about to give you guys a compliment, and I was going to say, if you look at their schedule right now, there's a little bit of a runway. You got both teams in New York. You got the Cowboys. You got the Texans. You got the Raiders. All of that leading into a home game against Kansas City. You guys could maybe be sitting at 7-3, 8-4, whatever it would be heading into that game. But, of course, you had to throw shots. There was no need for that.
It's a Friday. I'm feeling good, C-Dot. I love talking to you. You know, I got to take them when I can get them, my man.
But, Josh, looking at this stretch, on very serious, like, if they can find a way to steal this game against the Eagles, which the Eagles are going to lose eventually, like, they're not going undefeated this season. Like, if you look at this schedule, the Broncos could easily find themselves at 7-3 and be viewed potentially as one of those contending teams in the AFC.
I agree. And look, I'm sure you kind of have a similar feeling, right? The first month, it's a tough place to be as an NFL team, especially with what the preseason is now, and I know there's joint practices, but that's not the same as playing real football. So I think it's about 4 or 5 weeks when teams start to figure themselves out. Coaches are starting to figure, oh, here's how I use this playmaker. Here's how I can put this weapon on the field, so on and so forth. So I do think there's this spot, right? That's why I think there should be some optimism with Broncos fans about what happened last week against the Bengals, because they looked good in what they wanted to do. And that's what you should start to see from your football teams when we start to turn the calendar to October. So like I said, I believe in the defense is getting back there. Can Sean and Bo figure it out fast enough to start to take advantage of this schedule? They should be able to.
That was Josh Dover, who covers the Denver Broncos, getting his thoughts on the Broncos. So we took a trip to Las Vegas, Denver, and Los Angeles. If you missed any of it, be sure to check out the podcast page, 96.5 The Fan, and also the Odyssey app if you want to catch that. Let's take a little bit of a break here. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Thursday night football. We'll also get you ready for the weekend in college football. It's not the best weekend in terms of the slate, but we do get another chance to see if Arch Manning can play. We'll do all that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Trent McDuffie from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive with C-Dot on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, there's a lot of stuff to get into, so let's dive right into it. This is a very mediocre week of college football. I'm just going to keep it above 150 with you. I'm not here to lie to you. This is a very average week of college football. Now, K-State, you guys got a game. KU got a game. There's some important games in the Big 12. But last week, we had the sizzle. We had Alabama and Georgia. We had Oregon and Penn State. I just actually watched that Ducks versus them 30-minute video. If you like college football, I'm telling you right now, whatever your plan is for later today, stop what that is, and you need to watch this. It is incredible theater. But it's a slow week. But there are two big matchups that I've got my eye on this weekend in college football. Let's start with the first one. Now, I think people were a little hard on Arch Manning. I do. We're talking about a 20-year-old who hadn't really played football in 2 years. He's going on the road to Ohio State. They won the national championship. They are the best defense in the country. They got the best defensive player in the country. And we were expecting him to just look like, I don't know, Johnny Manziel from game one. I just don't think that was realistic. So what I said with Arch Manning, you can go back and check the tape, that I wasn't going to overreact to Arch's one start. Now, there were some things that alarmed me. I didn't think his fundamentals were very great. There are some throws that just you got to make as a high-level Division I quarterback that he didn't make. But you could clearly see some of the tools, they were there. I think this is a 2-year conversation with Arch. If Arch is thinking about going to the NFL, he better be talking about the career mode on Madden, because he shouldn't be going nowhere near the National Football League. He better be talking about the superstar mode. He's not an NFL quarterback yet, and that's fine. He has 5 starts in his college football career. Let's see how it goes. All the cupcake games for Texas, they are over. They have no more. They've burned them all up. We got 3 weeks of San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston State. They won those games 38-7, 27-10, and 55-0. They had a bye week, and now it's go time. They got Florida, Oklahoma, on the road against Kentucky, on the road against Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, on the road against Georgia. It's go time. My number one favorite thing about sports, this is my number one thing. At some point, all of the talking ends from everybody. Teams, fans, players, coaches, we're done talking. And it is time to show and prove. If Arch is the quarterback that they told us that he was going to be, we'll get a chance to see it. Saturday afternoon, SEC game on the road against Florida, iconic stadium, iconic venue. That's a great place to showcase it, is it not? You know, the co-eds are going to be out. The boosters are going to be out. Alumni is going to be out. They're going to have Matthew McConaughey on the sideline. It's going to be great. If Arch can play, we'll know. So that's one of the games that I'm looking forward to. We got Texas on the road at Florida in SEC play. The other game that I think is really good is Miami and Florida State. Now, for those of you that might be a little younger, it's hard to explain how great that game used to be. Miami and Florida State used to be the most important game in college football. it is basically kind of what we had last week with Alabama and Georgia. Remember when Alabama LSU, that was the marquee game? Oh man, those were some great games. That's what Miami and Florida State used to be. The two best teams in the country. You had future pros up and down the lineup. You had kids that all grew up around each other. Some of the kids went to Tallahassee. Some of the kids went to Coral Gables. They hated each other. And every game would come down to a field goal, and usually Florida State would miss said field goal. Now, this game doesn't have the juice that those games used to have back in the 90s and the 2000s, but that doesn't make it less important in the ACC. Florida State, you've already lost the game. Miami is ranked third in the country and might be the best team in the country. It's also at night, under the lights. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I do think that Florida State was kind of looking ahead a little bit against Virginia. I don't think that Florida State really took Virginia seriously enough. And next thing you know, you look up and you find yourself in a fight. And you got in overtime. That happens. Well, all right, it's go time. You've already lost one game in the ACC. You can't keep losing them in the ACC. So I think Miami wins. I think Miami has the better quarterback. I think Miami has the better defense. They have the more experienced quarterback in this game. I just think Miami wins. I think Miami's the best team in the ACC. I think they're going to win the conference. I think they'll be undefeated heading into the college football playoff. But, I mean, we've seen their coach, Mario Cristobal. He different sometimes. Remember that time where they didn't knee the ball out and they kept running plays and they lost in regulation? Their coach is just, he different. That's probably the best way I can describe it at times. He's different. Now, we have one other ranked matchup in college football this weekend. It's Alabama and Vanderbilt. The only reason I bring up Alabama and Vanderbilt, because there's no real talking point in the game other than Vanderbilt beat Alabama last year. If there is a game that I know Alabama should have circled on their schedule, it's this team. I also don't think that Vanderbilt is walking in there scared in any capacity. They know they can beat this team. And if you watch college football, you know about Diego Pavia. I also don't think he's very scary in these matchups. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. So if you go in there with the team that believes they can pull off the upset with one of the better quarterbacks, and everybody believes, you got a shot. So if you're Alabama, there's no reason to sleepwalk through this thing. They bit you last year. They ran on the field. Their students tore the goalpost down, and they dropped it in the lake is what they did. So you should be ready. You should be certainly focused and dialed in heading into the week. I actually think that this is a really, really big week in the Big 12. There isn't like that high kind of sizzle game, but there's just really important games. Iowa State is 5-0, 2-0 in the conference. They go on the road to play Cincinnati. If we know one thing about Cincinnati, they can score. They've got one of the better quarterbacks in college football. We just saw that last week against Kansas. Cincinnati can score. Cincinnati is a slight favorite in this matchup against Iowa State. If Cincinnati wins this game, we have not put Cincinnati in that conversation of teams that can win the Big 12. They need to be in it, though. If you beat Iowa State at home, you absolutely deserve to be in the conversation of teams that can win the conference. So it's a game for Cincinnati. Hey, are we going to put you in the playoff conversation or not? So Iowa State at Cincinnati. Texas Tech goes on the road and they play Houston. Texas Tech is a massive favorite in that matchup. They're 11.5-point road favorite at Houston. Tells me a couple of things. Number one, it tells me that the public and Vegas, they are very high on Texas Tech. It also tells me the public does not believe in Houston at all, is what it tells me. And if you look at Houston's win so far, I mean, they ain't really giving you a reason to be that high on them. They beat Stephen F. Austin, Rice, Colorado, and Oregon State. I mean, not really a who's who of opponents so far this season. So we'll find out how good they potentially are. But this isn't a marquee banner week in college football. Next weekend, we'll spend more time on it because it really is that kind of week. It's a real strong week in college football. That's just not what this one is. That's just not what this one is. I want to give you guys a couple of baseball thoughts before the segment ends. The first baseball thought is I watched just about the entire Yankees and Red Sox game. I've been really getting into the baseball playoffs these last couple of years. The pitch clock has really changed baseball for me. It just doesn't move slow anymore. Those playoff games, you remember, they used to be four and a half hours. We used to take forever in these playoff games. Not anymore. They're getting you out of there in 3 hours. I love baseball's commitment to getting us in and out of these things. And then when you add in the drama of the baseball playoffs, it's great. I can't get enough of it. I'm really into it. I didn't really watch Thursday Night Football until the end of it. I was watching baseball for the most part yesterday. There was a moment in the game in which the Red Sox could have saved their season. They could have saved their season. It was 0-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning. That's what it was. It was 0-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning. Now, you might be thinking, there's a lot of time left. I mean, I guess. Well, let me go through the sequence of plays, the sequence of events in this. The inning starts with a double. I mean, we all watch baseball. That ain't good. That ain't good. Cody Bellinger hits a double. Now, you have a young guy, a rookie, who is making his fifth start as a major league player, his third road start. The other two road starts were in Sacramento and Tampa Bay. So very, very different than road game at Yankee Stadium elimination. So just not comparable. He gives up a double. He now walks Giancarlo Stanton. There's a runner on first and second with no outs. And the crowd is going crazy because they know that they got you on the ropes. Well, now you are faced with a decision if you are the Red Sox. That's what you are. You're faced with the decision. They even had a mound visit. They had a mound visit. I'm thinking, all right, waste a little bit of time here. Get them out of here and lock down the inning. It's not what they chose. They chose to leave him in the game. Now the kid got a strikeout. Whew. All right, but you know it is a long way from one outs to three outs. You had another opportunity. Get this kid out of the game. It ain't working. Early gives up a single. It's now 1-0. Bellinger scores, the guy that hit the double. All right, it's only one run. All right, one run, one out. Jazz Chisholm hits a single. Now you got a runner on second and third. Crowd is really going crazy now. You got another opportunity. Please get him out of the game. The Red Sox, for whatever reason, they're just twiddling their thumbs. Anthony Volpe hits a single. Stanton scores. It's now 2-0. The next man up hits a fielder's choice. There is an error. It's now 4-0. The game is over. One of the mistakes that I think we make in sports is we think that the game is always decided at the end. That the game is decided 2 minutes to go, close game. Nah, man, that ain't how it goes. One play, one mistake, one decision can end your season. It's the playoffs. And that happened last night to the Boston Red Sox. That's what happened. It was the bottom of the fourth. They had a chance to at least keep it close. And at that point, you're down 4-0. And you could just tell at that point, the pitcher for the Yankees just got nothing but more and more confidence. And he had a dazzling start. 8 innings, 12 strikeouts, no walks, 5 hits. I mean, he was just in complete control yesterday. So that's it. You made a decision to keep him in here and let the young guy battle and get himself out of it. Man, that is a great stance to have. It's a phenomenal stance to have in August. It is not a good stance to have in October, because if you're wrong and he can't get himself out of it, your season is over. And the Boston Red Sox, their season is over. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Juju Smith-Schuster from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive with C-Dot on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Someone just texted in. The Red Sox had no bullpen arms. I mean, they had somebody to come in for the fourth inning. And I also think it's important to note that the Yankees didn't score the remainder of the game. This was the bottom of the fourth inning. Who pitched the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth? Somebody came in. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, if they ran a bullpen arm, that's fine.
And what a pivot. What do we hear from baseball fans and the text line and Vern's post-game show for 162 games? It's, hey, why didn't they go to this guy? Why didn't they? It's like, well, this guy's pitched 4 days in a row, or this guy's hurt. Or, you know, eventually you have to go to the Sam Longs or whatever. And then in a three-game series, you're saying they're running out of arms? Just what a 180 the baseball fan did in this instance.
They also lost. I don't know what to tell you. Their season's over.
They scored zero runs.
Their season's over.
I don't know who's pitching, and you're winning with zero runs.
I'm telling you that their life bar was flashing. It was flashing. You got to get him out of there. And you didn't get him out of there. You lost, so I'm sorry. Go home. That's the moral of this story. All right, we got one more AFC West whip around that we did earlier today that I want to play for you guys. We did the Chargers earlier. We did the Broncos earlier. We also took a stop in Las Vegas to catch up with the Raiders. I asked Scott Goldbranson, the Raiders are 1-3. They won their first game of the season. I was hopeful. Well, I'm not hopeful anymore. What's going wrong with the Raiders?
Well, Carrington, a little bit of everything. You talk about that Patriots game in week one, of course. Yeah, going to the East Coast. Geno Smith looked great, completed 70% of his passes. And I think Raider Nation was feeling the excitement they felt in the offseason with Pete Carroll coming in and Chip Kelly coming in as offensive coordinator. They saw some offense going. Then you get into game two, and it all falls apart. Geno Smith, three interceptions, and then now you fast forward to week four. He's got seven interceptions. He's leading the league. And offensively, the Raiders couldn't get the run game going. Now Ashton Jeanty broke out, obviously, in the last loss to the Chicago Bears. But the defense as well has been fine, but then they've been kind of a bend, don't break, and then you just don't seem to be able to finish games. This has been sort of a hallmark of Patrick Graham as a defensive coordinator. You have Max Crosby, you have some other guys on that defense who are playing well, but they just seem to not be able to close out games. But it's all about complementary football, my friend. They can't keep the ball on offense or score points, which means the defense is on the field 60-plus plays a game, and what happens is these guys wear out towards the end, and I think the defensive situation with the Raiders, look, they had questions in the defensive backfield. That actually hasn't been the problem. It's been more up front, being able to stop the run, being able to put pressure on the quarterback. They're not doing a very good job of it. Max Crosby has his moments, but as you know, you can't win in the NFL with one defensive end.
I thought that they were going to get a little bit more of a boost at quarterback than they've gotten so far. Geno has really struggled so far. Is it just new team, new situation? Why do you think Geno hasn't played as well as he did in Seattle?
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question, because Geno Smith coming in since his career resurgence in Seattle has been the poster boy for consistency, over 70% completion rate. Yes, he'll have a game here or there where he throws a couple picks, so everybody knew that and to expect it. But this run he is on is unprecedented since his rookie year in New York. A lot of the folks I talked to in New York telling me this looks like the Geno we saw when he came to the Jets as a young player. So nobody can really figure it out. Of course, Geno Smith says, I just got to play better. But yeah, Chip Kelly's offense, different than what he ran, of course, in Seattle, but not so far different. He's got weapons. What I see him doing, Carrington, is I see him keying in on receivers. I see him holding the ball perhaps a half second too long. And so he's giving these opportunities for these defensive backs to jump into it. And it's crazy when you look at the stats. In two home games at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, he's 0-for-17 with five interceptions at home. So you could imagine how Raider Nation's feeling about a quarterback they were somewhat excited about, a little tepid, but a little excited about. He's come out, he's really, really struggled, and so that offense has struggled as well.
Do you feel like this Raiders team can turn their season around? I don't think they're in contention to win the AFC West or anything, but it felt like there was a chance for them to get to 8-9 wins, maybe put themselves in that wild card conversation. I mean, they got a tough month coming up. They go on the road against Indianapolis, on the road against Kansas City. You watch this team. Do you follow this team? Is there time for the Raiders to turn things around?
You know, I have to be pessimistic here. I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I think there's some issues internally, and it's surprising to me, with Pete Carroll there, with his pedigree and where he's come from and his experience, and then, of course, Chip Kelly coming in. There's something going on. There's some personality conflicts among this team, especially between Chip Kelly and their second-year right guard, Jackson Powers Johnson, who played center last year. They weren't even playing, and this is a guy who won the trophy for the best center in college football last year, and they came in and they switched him to right guard again. And so there's something going on there. There's something not right. The media in Las Vegas, as you can imagine, is not like the media in New York. They're not going to hammer you. Press conferences aren't contentious. But the Raider coaching staff, Carrington, very on edge. It's tangible in press conferences. They're very short. They're somewhat sarcastic when they answer questions. So I don't know what's going on. I think maybe it's growing pains. Maybe it's this changeover. Maybe they don't have the players they want to fit their system, whatever it may be. But I had predicted 8 wins myself, right? I'm now backing that up. I mean, this could be another 4 or 5 win season if this Raiders team can't put this together and they can't get the offensive line, they can't get the defense to start putting pressure on the quarterback. Like you said, the month coming up, hey, when you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you're playing Justin Herbert, and they got to play five more games against the division, it's going to be difficult, not to mention their out-of-conference schedule. So, yeah, I'm thinking four or five wins here, but they could surprise if they put it together quickly, but it's going to be really difficult, I believe.
That was our guy Scott Goldbranson, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders. If you missed it, check out the podcast page. We took a trip around the AFC West. I'll get you out of here with this before we sign off today. I don't want to go home. I live in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Do you guys know all of the things that are happening downtown? It's First Friday. There's a concert at Liberty Memorial. It's just a lot going on, man. I already know. That drive home is going to be miserable. I know it is. Usually, from my house to the radio station, it takes me 14 minutes. Long it takes me. Sometimes a little faster, depending. Sometimes a little bit longer, but usually it takes around 14 minutes. If I leave at 45, I can be here by the top of the hour. It ain't going to take 14 minutes today. I already know. Everybody's driving downtown for the Pink Pony Club or whatever. I don't know what other songs she got going on. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun, but I ain't looking forward to it. First Friday is already crazy enough. How they going to deal with all those people down there at the same time? You know what? This is practice for the World Cup, isn't it? That's what this is. This is practice. They're trying to see how we move, how we handle this. That's what they're doing. There's something else going on, too. I know Sprint Center got some concert, Midland. It's something. I know it is.
Mister, I won't get on to you for what you're like, for what you like. Is over there feeling really unhappy about this Chapel Row
concert. I'm happy for him. I'm not hating on it.
You're just grumpy about having to go through the
mass of
people. I wish
they moved it to Arrowhead. What's going on? They ain't doing nothing Friday and Saturday. Why can't it be at Arrowhead?
It's going to be a mess, man. It's going to be a huge crowd out there, you got to think. I mean, she's huge
right now.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Why can't they move it? If it was at Arrowhead, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to drive right through it. I got to drive in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to take an hour or two to park based on any of the events you go to at those stadiums as well. It's going to be a mess either way, man.
All right.
Hate to break it to you.
All right. Well, I'm a soldier, you know? I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. I mean, how else am I going to get home? I got to get home. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Good luck to K-State. Good luck to Kansas. Missouri's off. They're getting ready for their game against Alabama. I'm already nervous about the Missouri game. I just got my tickets. I'm making my tailgate plans. I'm even going to plan on doing the tailgate, even though the game's at 11. I haven't been this excited for a Missouri football game in a long time, but just lets me know that I'm going to be mad. Like, I already know I'm going to be mad. So I appreciate you guys. Hopefully you appreciate me. Take care of yourself. Rob will be back. I'll be back. We're excited for a very exciting week. They got Monday night and Sunday night football. A very exciting week. Nathan, let's see if you know what to do now. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.